They started out 13. But by Matthew chapter 28, only 11 remain standing. Judas has gone the way of the unbeliever. And Jesus, the leader of the movement, has been crucified. And if we include Doubting Thomas, they were only 10.5 disciples left. And these 11 disciples were left all alone. They have given their lives to a mission that has faded out in just 3 short years. They have all the teachings that Jesus left for them. They have all the tools that Jesus has provided them. They have all the experience and all of the commitment, but there are a few things lacking. First, these 11 disciples do not have the ability to continue the mission by doing what Jesus Christ did before his crucifixion. They don't have the ability to do what Jesus did. And secondly, they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Jesus Christ has been crucified, and now these 11 are just standing around, twiddling their thumbs. No one knows what to do next. And thirdly, these disciples know that without Jesus, they can do nothing. He taught them that. Without me, you can do nothing. And so because of their lack of power, because of their lack of purpose, because of the fact that they're deprived of the presence of Jesus Christ, these 11 disciples are at a total loss. Should they disband? Was their experience of the presence and power of God over these past 3 years all for nothing? These are the kinds of questions that had to have been on their hearts and on their minds since the crucifixion. Where do we go from here? What do we do now? Why have we been given this great yet apparently unrepeatable experience if we cannot reproduce it in the lives of others? What was it all about? And why did this man from Galilee assemble us together if he had no plan for us, if he had no purpose for us? These 11 disciples were completely out of ideas, like sheep without a shepherd. And you know, it must have been pretty bad when even Peter, the one who loves to be the visionary leader, even Peter decided to just retreat and go fishing. Nobody knows what to do. Exasperated, possibly even ashamed that what he thought was going to be a great adventure has turned into an abject failure. And no one among them knows what to do next. This was the first plight of these first followers of Jesus Christ on the days between his crucifixion and his resurrected presence among them. This is a very familiar dilemma in many churches today. Assemblies of believers gathering week after week with no clear purpose. Some churches are not doing much of anything. Their only mission is to preserve the status quo, to preserve their membership. Other churches are doing a lot of things with no understanding of why they're doing it. Then other churches simply desiring to grow by any means, even if it means compromising the truth of the gospel, because for them, numerical growth is a sign of God's affirmation. And our church fits into one of these 3 categories. I hope and pray that today's message will remind us of Christ's original purpose for his church. I hope that we will better realize realize how we have been equipped to accomplish that purpose. That we might be granted by God's good grace fresh revelation that leads to renewed motivation to accomplish the Great Commission. As these 11 disciples are gathered together, the text says that Jesus came up and spoke to them. He just recently rose from the dead. He doesn't come to them in any pomp or circumstance. He doesn't make a big splash. The text says that Jesus just came up and spoke to them. And I hope we can appreciate the simplicity of Jesus in doing it this way. You can tell by the way the Holy Spirit describes this revelation of the resurrection that Jesus is not interested in self-aggrandizement. Jesus is not interested in prideful presentation. His revelation to his disciples was just as humble as his departure. He just showed up and began to speak to them. Because the truth doesn't need to impress. It just is. And Jesus is the truth, outwardly unassuming but eternally invincible. The truth, seemingly unassertive but brimming with confidence as he declares to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is a bold claim. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The Greek word there is exousia. Basically, Jesus is telling them that he has been given both the right and the might to carry out his mission in every sphere, whether in heaven or on earth, seen or unseen. His name is above every name. He is the head of the church, and he is the ruler of all universes, both natural and spiritual. All authority has been given to me. We understand that as the Word of God, before his earthly birth, Jesus already had all authority. As the Word, one with the Father, he prayed to the Father in John chapter 17 that God might restore to him the glory that he had with God before the world began. As the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus already had all authority. But in his earthly form, Jesus had to be given authority. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus declares himself. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way." The Son can do nothing of himself. In other words, all of the miracles that Jesus performed and all of the teaching that he left on record for us, he did it all by permission of the Father. He was granted authority. Yeah, I'll say it again. Jesus was granted authority. And now, as the resurrected Son of God, Jesus has been granted total authority over all of creation, seen and unseen. And that's important for us to understand. Because in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says again, "Just as the Father has sent me, so I send you." In the same manner that the Father sent me into the world on mission, Jesus says, "So now I send you." With the same purpose, with the same authority. "Just as the Father has empowered me," Jesus says, "so I also empower my church. And just as nothing can hinder me from doing God's will, so nothing can hinder my church." Brothers and sisters, we are the body of Jesus Christ. And nothing can stop us from accomplishing his will and his vision in the world. just as Jesus himself is unbound, unfettered, unchallenged, so is his body also unbound, the church. This is what Jesus wants to convey to you. This is what Jesus wants to convey to his church. When he first says, all authority is given to me, therefore, go. All authority has been given to me, and I give all authority to my church, therefore, go. Jesus Christ has invested all of his authority in the church. If you get nothing else today, get this. Jesus Christ has invested all of his authority in the church. You ever think about that? If we are the body of Jesus Christ, then all authority in heaven and on earth is in the church. This is what Jesus conveys to his disciples. Go, because I have invested all authority in you. The church of Jesus Christ has the authority to go wherever Christ sends. The church of Jesus Christ has the authority to do whatever Jesus Christ did. Jesus promised in his word, the things you see me do, you will do also, and even greater things will you do. This is what Jesus said. He says in John chapter 20, verse 22 and 23, after he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, this is what he said to them. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. That sounds like all authority he's giving to the church. Whomever sins you forgive, I will forgive. Whosoever sins you retain, I will retain. The church of Jesus Christ, this church, has all authority in heaven and on earth. And we do not have to allow anything to hold us back. Nothing can stand before a church that stands in its God-given authority. But no church can stand in God-given authority unless that church is doing the will of Jesus Christ. And his will is that the church would go. Our church is authorized by Jesus Christ with the same authority that Jesus Christ himself has been given, both in heaven and on earth. He explains this to Peter in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. He says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church, this church, has the authority to bind those spiritual forces that hold men hostage. This church has the authority to release men who desire to be set free. This is the authority that we have been given through Jesus Christ himself. Jesus says it much more plainly. Jesus says that since we have been given this authority, since the church has been vested with this authority from on high, we must go and make disciples of all nations. Go and bring people to Jesus so that they can be converted. Go and make devoted students of all nations, all backgrounds, all people, the poor and the rich, the elite and the marginalized. No one is out of your bounds. We have authority to make disciples of all people. We have authority and we have the divine assignment to bring sons and daughters to Jesus Christ for salvation. Go, make disciples of all nations. We have authority and we have divine assignment to initiate them into the family of God by guiding them in public profession of their faith. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What a sacred task the church has been given. What a sacred task our church has been given. Authority and the responsibility to assimilate unbelievers into the kingdom of God. We have been authorized and we have been formally commissioned by Jesus himself to do this work. And this is the first assignment of our church. And this is the first assignment of every Bible-believing church, to go and make disciples, to go and turn people from darkness to light, to go and persuade and compel and convince people to become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This is our corporate mission. This is the reason that the church exists. And this is each of our individual assignment as well, to go and make disciples. And you might be thinking right now, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I can't make disciples. I know that can be the case. I'm not able to persuade people to come to Jesus. I don't know how to do that. And that's fine. Not everyone has the gift of evangelism. But since the mission belongs to the body of Christ, since this mission belongs to the entire church, then you have to figure out what can you do to assist in the process of making disciples. What role can you play to help accomplish this mission for Christ? And there's one thing we all can do. And the one thing we all can do is to invite unbelievers to church. Sounds simple, doesn't it? The one thing that we all can do, hey sister, haven't seen you in a while. The one thing that we all can do is invite unbelievers to church. Sounds so simple, but it can be very effective. Just inviting people to come to church service, so that they can be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they can experience the authority of Jesus Christ for themselves. Because when the body of Christ is gathered, there is power. The power of Jesus Christ rests within every Bible-believing church. So invite people to come. Invite people to come and experience firsthand the power and the love that God has for them through his church. And so that we can accomplish the other part of the Great Commission, which is to teach them to follow all that Jesus Christ has commanded us. Bring them to church, so that we can impart to them the knowledge of God in Christ. Bring them to church so that we can teach them sound doctrine about the person and the work of Jesus Christ and his plan for their lives. Invite your family, invite your friends to church, so that they can be equipped to live victorious lives that please God. And as we teach them from the church, you can teach them by your own example in their lives. Your life can be the testimony. Your life can be the example of what a life, a mature life in Christ should look like. Teaching them all things that Jesus Christ has commanded us. Brothers and sisters, this is a church-wide call. This is not just the elders' call. This is not just the deacons' call. This is a church-wide challenge to go and make disciples of all people, to baptize and to teach them. So bring them to church. But don't just bring them to church. Pray for the unbelievers in your family. Pray for the unbelievers in your sphere of influence. Pray for unbelievers. Bring them to church and pray for their conversion. Bring them to church and pray for their salvation. Go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that I have commanded you. This is the mission of our church, to go and make disciples of all people, to assimilate unbelievers into the family of God, to teach them sound doctrine by our words and by our examples. And this is the great commission of the Church of Jesus Christ until the end of the age. Jesus Christ has been authorized to exercise power both in heaven and in earth. And Jesus Christ has invested this authority into his church so that we can work with him, so that we can partner with him in accomplishing his mission for the world. Then finally he declares them, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." In other words, the church will never be without his power, and the church will never be without his authority. The life of Jesus Christ, his authority and his power, is eternally invested in his church, which is his body. And these are our marching orders. This is our commission. This is our sole reason for existing. Let me say it again. This is our sole reason for existing. This is the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we should be about our Father's business. Let's invite our neighbors, let's invite our family, let's invite our friends to experience the presence of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for them that God would save. It is our solemn obligation and responsibility to continue the work of Jesus Christ in the world. And each of us is required to do our part. Invite unbelievers to church, pray for their salvation. And here's a request that I'm making of every member of Cornerstone. I'm making this request of every regular attendee of Cornerstone. My challenge to you is to write down your own personal testimony of how you came to Jesus Christ. Doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be dramatic. Just write down your personal testimony of your experience with Christ that led you to salvation, your personal testimony. Write it down. And if you will, email it to me at Pastor Calvin at Cornerstone Church, Chicago. Email me your testimony, because in January, I will be kicking off a series of sermons titled Jesus Saves. We're going to begin the year with evangelism. And before each sermon in January, I'd like to bring someone up to give their personal testimony, to tell us how they came to know the Lord. Before every sermon, I would like to hear a testimony from the members of Cornerstone Church to describe how you came to Jesus, how Jesus found you, where you were, the great things God has done in your life. That'll be in January. Sermon series titled Jesus Saved, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, I haven't decided yet. Maybe 4 weeks of sermons. Jesus Saves. And then lastly, starting next year, every first Sunday of the month will be Evangelism Sunday. The Sunday where you should bring your family and bring your friends to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to be about his business. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and be counted. It is time for our church to stand up in this community and declare that Jesus saves, that you don't have to continue to live the way that you're living, that you don't have to be bound, that you don't have to be afraid, but Jesus Christ saves. He saved me. He can save you. Are you all with me? Are you all with me on that? So write down your personal testimony, email it to me so that I can read it first and kind of shorten it down a little bit so that it's only take about 5 minutes. But then be ready in January to come up and tell the world, to proclaim to the world how Jesus saved you. So that people watching online, so that people listening on the radio can hear and maybe relate to your testimony. And say, wow, if Jesus did it for him, if Jesus did it for her, Jesus can do it for me. It is time for us to be about our Father's business. This church has been invested with the authority of Jesus Christ. It is a shame to let that power go to waste. This church has been invested with the power to bind and to loose. It is a shame to let that power go to waste. The world is in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ is looking to each one of us individually and to us as a body, as a corporate body, And he's saying to you, Tom, and he's saying to you, Robert, and he's saying to you, Mike, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that I have commanded you, because I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And the faithfulness that Jesus Christ is demonstrating to you in your life, Jesus Christ is willing and desiring to be that same Lord in your family member's life, in your friend's life. Don't keep the good news to yourself. Jesus has saved you, and Jesus has called you to go out and to bring others into the fold. Will you do your part? Will you do your part and invite as many people as you can, as many Sundays as you can, to come and hear the gospel? And on the first Sunday of every month starting next year, it will be Evangelism Sunday, to preach the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, so that men might know that Jesus saves, so that our sons and our daughters may come to saving faith. This is the mission of the church. And without this mission, there is no reason for us to gather and assemble week after week. The only purpose for us to gather week after week is so that we can be equipped for the ministry to serve a dying and a broken world, to bring people out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ our Savior, so that what God has done for me and what God has done for you, God can do for so many others through us when we get about our Father's business. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, so often we tend to forget the reason and the purpose of your church. So often, Father God, we tend to ignore the purposes and the mission that you have given to each one of us. So consumed with our own daily lives, so consumed with our own challenges, that we tend to not have time for those around us, that we tend to not have compassion for the dying, for the broken, and for the lost. Father, I pray for us today that you will help us to get back on your mission. I pray, Lord God, that you'll cause us to refocus on the purpose of your church and the power that you have invested in us. And I am certain of this one thing, Lord Jesus, that as we begin to partner with you in saving the lost, that you will cause your Holy Spirit to flow out into this place like never before, empowering us to do your work and to do your will. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us your vision for the world. Give us your vision for the broken, for the dying, for the hurting. Give us your vision for the lost. Be our vision. And help us to get on mission. Help us to be steady and consistent and faithful in our desire to fulfill your purpose in the world, Lord Jesus, because the great commission that you have given to us has always been your mission. Since the dateless days of eternity, you have desired to save all mankind. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being vested with your power and authority to do just that. Fill us with your fire. Fill us with a burden for souls. Give us wisdom that we might be wise like the eagle, harmless as the dove. Send us out into this broken world, Lord Jesus, to invite people to come to Jesus, but even to invite people to come to church, to hear the good news of your gospel. This good gospel that has saved each one of us and resurrected us from the deadness of our sin. We pray, Lord God, that through us you will raise others, that you will equip us to make disciples of all people, to teach them and to baptize them in your name, that you might be glorified with this church, that you might be glorified with this people, because it's all for your glory. And it's all in your name. Amen.